what was the inspiration behind this project? How did it come about?
Well, the inspiration for Unfinished Spaces started with the buildings themselves and with Roberto Gottardi. It happened in 2001. I was on a trip to Cuba studying architecture. My background's in architecture. And I was introduced to Roberto, and he brought me to the buildings. And I was just blown away by the beauty and also the connection to the Cuban history, and also by Roberto himself, who is just an extraordinary character. And he asked me, I asked him why hadn't anyone done a documentary about this because it's so cinematic. And he said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, okay. I think it was sort of one of those moments where you have inspiration hit you over the head and then say yes before you can think about it. But as soon as I got back to the States, I called Ben, and that began our collaboration on what was a 10-year project.
Yeah, how did you feel the first time you walked into these buildings? I mean, because on video it's one thing, but to actually be there yourself, like, how did it feel?
I think walking through the spaces, it's just such an amazing experience, because the buildings themselves have so much empty space to them, and the school and the campus has an area with the unfinished buildings where it's not ultra utilized like we see pretty much anywhere in the States, where every inch of an area is used to a full potential. And to go through those spaces, you see the students using them in a different way, as an area for creativity, a place for inspiration, and a place to practice. The music students were almost like a new type of tropical bird. You would go through the schools, and you'd come around a corner, and you'd just hear like a saxophone going, and that just was very special. And it became, from day one, our biggest challenge as far as how to translate that into a two-dimensional experience where we could control the time but not be able to have that same sort of spatial quality and emptiness.
How fortunate do you guys consider yourselves that, you know, the three main architects were still alive after all these years, and so not only willing to talk, but so able to talk?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's really what hooked us into the project more than anything, was the three of them and the fact that they are alive. I mean, who gets to return to a project when they're 80 years old that they started when they're 30, and have the wherewithal and the energy and the creativity still within them to return to it with the same kind of enthusiasm? And it was a dream come true for us to find out that they were alive, and then to meet each one of them and discover their personalities, which are so specific, and which we think also their trajectories of their lives show different aspects of the Cuban Revolution and the Cuban diaspora.
Yeah, having three artists who really stayed true to their vision from that time period, and that took that utopic time period, and were able to create these monuments, which have lasted through everything, as far as the political tempests and the storms and the floods, and see them stay true to that vision in a way that is where their energy. I mean, they have so much energy to this day, and for them to get recognition in front of a crowd at the Los Angeles Film Festival, they got a standing ovation from the crowds, and for them to be there for that was just very special and a huge goal for us to really get the film done while the three were still alive.
How difficult was it to film in Cuba, and if so, could you guys offer any advice to young documentarians that are looking to, you know, go to another country and film, anything that they should look out for?
There were definitely challenges. Getting access to this particular site wasn't easy. The art schools, as soon as Fidel reclaimed them in 1999, became a protected site by the Cuban government, and we really had to develop rapport and gain the trust of the people who were charged with the restoration of the buildings and the protection of the site. So I think the lesson from the way that we really overcame that obstacle of access was to just be very patient and very human with these people. I mean, we made friends with them and genuinely, not just to get access. And I think that once they saw who we were and what our motivations were, that then we were able to get not only what we were hoping for, but even a lot more. So I think that the main thing is whether you're shooting in your own, you know, in your own neighborhood, or whether you're shooting in a foreign country, to just be real and to get to know the people who you're working with and gain their trust in a genuine way.
How difficult was this film to edit? You guys have all this footage, you know, the pre-revolutionary footage, the revolutionary footage, and then all the beautiful footage you guys have. How difficult was that to put all of that into a film?
Yeah, putting the film together was definitely a challenge. It was really, the toughest thing was we had all of this beautiful imagery, and we had architecture as a medium as one of our characters, and it was difficult to figure out how to show the schools and how to portray kind of the spaces in a way that wouldn't just kill the pacing of a story. We were lucky enough to have the book Revolution of Forms by John Loomis as kind of a structural touchstone that we could go back to at any point, because the story, the history itself lent itself to being like a great dramatic arc and a good story. And so at any point when we were starting to kind of lose our way as far as thematically we were going into the woods, so to speak, we could always go back and just check out the book, which in a very linear fashion goes through, and in a very linear and interesting fashion goes through the story of the Cuban Revolution and the schools in particular. So, that was our biggest challenge, was just how do we get the schools and how do we get that kind of emptiness while not killing the narrative flow of the documentary.
As far as the relationship that you had between the main characters of this, I mean, you spent technically 10 years with them. I mean, did you see any significant changes in them that you felt like were directly, you know, because of the situation with all of the unfinished base?
Over the course of the 10 years, we really saw a lot of ups and downs with each one of them. Like, at the beginning, when we first met Ricardo Porro, I think he was skeptical. I remember him saying, you know, I don't know what's going on in Cuba or what's not going on in Cuba. I don't live there. I can't predict what's going to happen. He was cautiously skeptical about whether or not his buildings would be restored. And then, you know, by the end of our time filming him, his buildings had been the most restored and completed, and he felt very satisfied for the most part. And so that's just one example of how each of the characters, our subjects, went through sort of ups and downs. On the other hand, Roberto Gottardi, who lives in Cuba, has just every time, you know, he remains so hopeful that they're going to complete and restore his building, and you know, I think he's told us 5 or 6 times that it's going to happen, and then a month or two later, there's a reason why they're not able to do it, usually an economic reason. And so it's been emotional. It's been a really emotional 10 years for these guys, both positively and in terms of some disappointments.
Okay, the difference obviously between filming, you know, a standard, you know, drama or you know, a fictional film and a documentary is you really don't know how it's going to end. And how did you guys feel towards, you know, the end of your filming? Did you guys think that it was going to be rebuilt, or how did you feel when it all got said and done and you were like putting the finishing touches? Were you kind of upset that there wasn't technically a happy ending? How did you feel about that?
The ending, it's funny, to us, we see it as a real to be continued. We were just putting the finishing touches on the film when we found out that the construction had been halted again. So it was, in a way, we had this great happy ending, and then there's a twist to it. And at first we weren't sure, do we need to shoot a scene for that? Do we need to, like, what? How does this affect our story? And I think just what we realized was, you know, this is something that it is that to be continued, and I don't think it will ever be a finished process, and it has so much to do with aging and a lifetime. And so, yeah, we don't need to shoot a scene, because who knows when it will start again. And I think the impact of just having it kind of come up on screen as it does it works really well that way.
Yeah, we really, I think the film, even though it has such a straightforward, in a way, historical connection and narrative, it also, for us, has always been about these larger themes, and in a way, like Ben saying, that the ending of the film is a more powerful way to hook into those themes about the cycles of history and the cycles of artistic creation, and that sort of never-ending or unfinished process, both of physical space and also of emotional and creative space in individuals and in societies.
Okay, how do you want this film to be remembered, say, 10 years from now? It took you 10 years to finish it, so 10 years from now, how would you like it to be remembered?
That's a really good question. I don't think we've been asked that one, right?
Oh, that's good. For me, I hope that what this film, 10 years from now, that instead of the film specifically being remembered, that in a more subtle way, the history of that time period in Cuba that was spontaneous, that wasn't so black and white, that wasn't like capitalism versus socialism and good guy versus bad guy, that instead of that, that if this had any input on kind of changing that dynamic into something a little more accessible and a little more kind of inspired towards the arts and towards these artists, then if we help with that dialogue and the dialogue of the schools specifically, as now hopefully more attention can be brought to them, then that to me would be the greatest achievement for the film.
Yeah, I would definitely second that. If this opens that door as far as being able to see, talk about the history of Cuba in a different way, that would be incredible. And also, given my background in architecture, I hope it's remembered as a film that speaks to a part of architecture that's really exciting and emotional and that people connect to, that it goes down as one of the films that that is about architecture, but not just about architecture, and about the way that people interact with it, with the spaces around them.
Okay, the film is currently being screened in New York. It's going to be screened in LA later in the month and early September. It's going to be on PBS next year. If someone's, you know, close to a theater where it's playing, or, you know, next year at this time, they're flipping through their channels and they hit PBS and they see unfinished pieces, what's this all about? How would you sell them on it? How would you convince them that this is something that they should watch?
Another good question. I think the film...
Why should you...
Yeah, I would want people to...
Theater. Why should you see this movie?
I would encourage people to see the film because even though it seems that it's about architecture, it's actually about much bigger themes. It's about these artists who are coming back to their career-defining works, and it's about that love of art and that love of nation and that love of a time and a place. And it's about that return, and it's about bringing back all of those emotions, and it's something that I think would touch anybody, and visually it's told in a way that is interesting and not just some standard talking head film. And so I think it's a pleasant surprise that it's out there, and I think people would walk away with just a great appreciation of a human story as well as everything else that it has.
Yeah, so one of the words that I keep hearing from audiences who are seeing the film is that it's moving. that it has a really emotional ending and it moves them, but that it also moves them to reconsider preconceptions and be inspired to do their own work. As
yeah. Makes them want to do stuff.
How do you want this film to kind of stand in your larger body of work as you move ahead with your career for most of you guys?
It's our National Art Schools project. I mean, in the sense that it's our first major, you know, directorial debut, and I think I'd like it to stand as something that's really a great achievement, but for first time directors. But also, you know, it has it's fallible too. It's not perfect, but it's inspiring, and I think it's going to be the beginning of hopefully great things for both of us.
Yeah, I think we built a great, solid springboard to our next project, and I think we're both just so incredibly proud of this film, and it's something that even if this was it's just a great film to have made. And we're so excited to have it become part of a bigger cultural dialogue and as a springboard. We just can't wait to start working on the next project.
What is your next project?
Well, we're both involved with in development on documentary projects that have to do with the arts and culture, also producing for some other projects. I think, at least if I speak for myself, I definitely am interested in themes about art and artists, and but that could be music, it could be dance, architecture, things like that. But again, not telling it in a didactic or in a monographic way, where it's just a simple, you know, catalog of someone's work. We're really interested in the drama that's there behind the scenes in the creative process.
Yeah, I'm in development on another feature doc that goes into the story of a contemporary critic, and hoping to get going on that in the next year. So it's another story where I think it's about channeling a lot of energy and not knowing going in what's going to come out of it, and kind of those question marks is a great access into creativity, I think, and it almost feels like sailing with this as well. It's kind of channeling that energy and hoping to not having all the answers and looking forward to exploring the questions as part of the filmmaking process.